In your Son, Jesus Christ, you offer us the gift of eternal life through a life reborn in water and spirit. In the story of Nicodemus, help us to name our own wrestling and resistance to this new life that we are offered, that we might better embrace it. Amen. The story of Nicodemus and the companion story to his, the woman at the well, which we'll hear next week, are two of my favorites. These are stories of the good news in the midst of people's lives, and they are told in such depth and detail that we are invited into them. We can really dwell in and inhabit these stories. Nicodemus' story in particular is one that I think we can all deeply relate to. This morning we encounter a man who is curious about Jesus, and he clearly wants to know more. It is his curiosity that draws him out under the cloak of night. That it is nighttime reveals that there's still a veil that hangs over his belief in Jesus Christ. He knows that Jesus is of God. He still does not understand exactly how that is yet. But it is enough that he simply ventures out on that night because it creates the opportunity for him to be invited into something new by Jesus. It is, after all, the nature of God to work towards making all things new, as we hear God proclaim through the prophet in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Nicodemus does not perceive yet this new thing that God is doing in Christ. But I suspect that he has an idea of just how much this rabbi can change his life. Nicodemus is a well-known person in his community. He was a Pharisee, so therefore a leader among the Jewish people. He would have had a respected position. He's had likely a good and upright life that is in line with all that he has known of God. And so we can feel the weight of his situation as he seems to glimpse that this invitation to be born anew is going to ask him to leave behind all of that. He is a man at a crossroads. He stands and is looking potentially at the ruins of all that his life was. And he cannot yet see what this new life will bring. This is what we might call a threshold in life, where we're standing in between what was and what will be. We've all had such threshold moments in our lives. The late poet John O'Donohue wrote a beautiful blessing for those interim times in life. It's one that I've often turned to myself. And I'd like to share the words with you this morning because they describe so well what Nicodemus faced. So I'll invite you to picture Nicodemus standing in the dark of the night on the verge of something new and unknown. You might close your eyes and imagine this. And hear these words that give shape to his experience. No place looks like itself. The loss of outline makes everything look strangely in between, unsure of what has been or what might come. In this wan light, even trees seem groundless. You are in this time of the interim, where everything seems withheld. The path that you took to get here has washed out. The way forward is still concealed from you. The old is not old enough to have died away. The new is still too young to be born. You cannot lay claim to anything. In this place of dusk, your eyes are blurred, and there is no mirror in which to see who you are. O'Donohue ends by saying, do not allow your confusion to squander this call, which is loosening your roots in false ground, that you might come free from all that you have outgrown. These are powerful words for Nicodemus, and for you and I as we consider what it means to be born anew, to be born of God's Spirit. Nicodemus's hesitancy and his questioning reflects our own whenever we are called on to loosen our own roots in false ground and so be claimed again by a life in Christ. This is what the process of being born anew looks like. While most of us have already been washed in the waters of baptism, we are nonetheless called to die and to rise with Christ throughout our lifetime, to be reborn of the Spirit many times over. When we baptize infants, sometimes this death to self is not so prominent because infants haven't built up the self-identity that we all have. When we consider Nicodemus' story, the death of the old is dramatic. We can see just how demanding Jesus' invitation to be born anew will be on our lives as well, in which we are established in many of the same ways that Nicodemus' life is so well established when he is asked to be born anew. In many ways, Lent is the season that asks us to allow some things to die in our lives. Where have we planted our roots in false ground and placed our trust in what will not last? Where have we got caught up in the things of this world and so failed to serve the priorities of God's kingdom? Much like Nicodemus' own journey, from Ash Wednesday and the following 6 weeks, we, in a way, stand in the midst of some ruins in our own lives. And the hard part is, for the time being, we wait in that in-between time. We have to wait for the new to take root and spring forth. Lent asks that we dwell in the between, allowing the old to really die and not fully being able yet to see new pathways that will emerge, but trusting that they will. When I think about the process of God taking something old and doing something new, I am taken back to an abbey that I had the privilege to visit on the Isle of Iona. Iona is an island off the coast of Scotland, and it's the place through which Christianity was actually launched into Scotland and down into northern England. So there is a monastery there, and there was later an abbey built as well. And for centuries, these two houses of worship, religious houses, did much good ministry. But eventually, with the Viking Crusades, they were abandoned. And it took centuries again for the monastery to finally be restored and for a new religious community to take root there. But there was never enough money to restore the less grand, less impressive abbey. So it sat in ruins, and it still sits in ruins today. But those ruins have been turned into a garden. And so they offer a place of prayer and contemplation to any of the pilgrims who come to Iona. It took centuries, but eventually both the monastery and the abbey, each in their own way, were reborn to serve God once again. They had to patiently wait in the in-between for a long time. Nicodemus' story always fascinates me because it doesn't actually end where we end today in the scripture reading. We're left waiting. And the truth is, we don't ever really get to hear the end of his story in John's gospel. He remains a bit of an open question. We do hear more about him later on, Twice we hear of how this new life is beginning to unfold in the midst of his life. But I'm not going to tell you what happens today. You can go look it up. I'll make you wait, though, as the scriptures do. For now, it is enough to see that Jesus has extended an invitation into something new. It's a promise that because he is of God, because he is the Son of God sent into the world bearing God's great love for us, that anyone who comes to be born anew will receive eternal life in him. But for now, we are called to wait in that in-between time. When it is like dusk, when our eyes are blurred, and we cannot quite see how the new will take root. It is that uncomfortable time of really letting the old die. And that journey can take a while. Nicodemus' story points us towards the promise in the midst of all of this of what surely will come, life in Christ. And at the same time, it demands that we wait so that we might purposefully allow that new life that Christ offers to unfold in the midst of our own lives. So may your Lenten journey be marked with patience and trust as you wait, as you allow time for the old to die, so that you might be born into the new. Amen.